forces of the so-called Islamic State are closing in on the ancient Syrian desert city of Palmyra. It's a World Heritage Site with a remarkable variety of Persian and Greco-Roman ruins. There are fears that IS will repeat in Palmyra the mindless vandalism and destruction they wrought on the city of Nimrud. Charles Glass is the author of a new book, Syria Burning, ISIS and the Death of the Arab Spring. Back in the late 80s, he wrote the travel classic, Tribes with Flags, about the country. That depth of experience gives him the long view on what's happening in Syria now.
This was an astoundingly diverse country. It wasn't a monochrome Arab Sunni Muslim state. It was a country of minorities where refugees from other parts of the world had settled, including Ismailis, Druze, Alawis, all the Christian sects you've ever heard of, both Orthodox and Catholic, and also the Protestants. And they lived together in great harmony for centuries. And there had been occasional outbreaks of violence because of outside pressures or some great international event that brought them to pass. But for the most part, they lived astoundingly peaceably. I knew of a village where in the 1920s, the person who did the call to prayer, the muezzin from the mosque, was the priest, the Christian priest of the village. No one seemed to mind that people of different religions would go into one another's places of worship.
So when the Arab Spring started, could you at any stage see any way that it would all go well?
Having first moved to the Middle East in 1972, with great optimism of a kind, hopeful for the region that there might be peace between the Arabs and Israelis and so forth, but having then observed war after war and civil war after civil war, I'd become pessimistic, to put it mildly. So when the Syrian revolution began, I wasn't that hopeful, one, that it would seize power, two, that it would end up being dominated by secular Democrats, and three, that it would lead to any kind of good outcome. And unfortunately, with these instincts that I have that things are going to go wrong, I always hope I'm wrong. But in this case, my pessimism was justified.
Secular Democrats, there were some at the beginning. What was the makeup at the beginning in terms of the way it's turned out since?
There were so many aggrieved people in Syria who had not benefited from the regime. The rural poor who had gone to live in slums on the outskirts of the big cities, they'd left because of the droughts and because there was no work for them on the farms. The regime didn't do much to accommodate them. They were aggrieved. People whose family members had been taken to prison and tortured, they were aggrieved. People who lost out on business contracts to Bashar al-Assad's cronies were aggrieved. There was a broad coalition of people who, at the very beginning, wanted reform. They were asking Bashar himself to make changes, to make the system more transparent, to make it fairer. He resisted those changes. Then they began demanding that he leave and let someone else come in who would make the changes. He perceived this as a serious threat. The opposition itself, there were those voices, and I remember in the early days before it became violent, there were voices that insisted that the only way to deal with the regime was to take up arms against it and defeat it militarily. And those who were saying that the regime was well prepared for a violent revolution, but was not prepared for non-violent civil disobedience, general strikes, freezing the economy, and so forth, that then it would have to make concessions and have a transition. So the movement split. Those who chose violence were immediately supported by Western powers, by Turkey, by Saudi Arabia, by Qatar, and those countries inevitably attracted the most devout jihadist elements who would be the most zealous fighters. There was originally something called the Free Syrian Army, but it didn't last very long and it wasn't decisive. The Free Syrian Army was hoping that large numbers of Syrian troops from the real army would defect to it, but they didn't. They stayed loyal to Assad.
So is it a case of one of those revolutions that becomes so chaotic so quickly that only the most ruthless are going to have any chance of winning?
Well, at the beginning, it didn't go so quickly. At the beginning, the Free Syrian Army seemed to be the way forward, but of course it had its own strong Islamist elements who subsequently split off from it. It evolved gradually. So, I mean, even in Homs, where the city was besieged by the regime from very early on in the revolution, a lot of the people in Homs were really hoping to keep those secular ideals alive and to have, you know, a transition to a modern state, a modern secular state. But of course, because the money was coming from Saudi Arabia and Qatar, the decisive voices became the Islamists, and Islamists also had the mosque network. to preach to people so that the revolution itself became Islamized, and to the degree that the two dominant powers are the Nusra Front, which is the Al-Qaeda branch in Syria, and the Islamic State, which is dominating large parts of Syria and of Iraq.
In the foreword, your colleague Patrick Coben compares this to the 30 Years' War in Europe in the 16th century, which is legendary for its utter brutality and its endlessness. Is Syria going to turn out like that?
Syria is turning out like that, and the reason is that neither side has the strength to defeat the other. The outside powers that are supporting Islamic State and Nusra Front are giving them just enough to keep the war going, but probably not enough to win. The Russians and the Iranians are giving the regime enough to keep going, but they won't provide what they really need to defeat the uprising completely. So the war goes on and on at two levels. One is a proxy war between Russia and the United States, between the United States and Iran, and between Saudi Arabia and Iran, but also at a local level for which Syrians are going to emerge on top. Will they be secular, whether they're now with Assad or against him, or will they be Islamists who want to drive out all the non-devout Sunni Muslims from the country? I mean, and that would destroy the Syria that I wandered across in 1986 and 1987. There would be no more Ismailis, there'd be no more Druze, no more Alawis, no more Christians. It would become a Wahhabi Saudi-style state, and probably even a Taliban state, which would then be threaten the entire region.
Charles Glass, author of Syria Burning, ISIS and the Death of the Arab Spring. And there'll be a longer version of that interview on our website from this evening.